Now, if you'd like to follow the message in the Bible this morning, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to speak to you on this subject, love, the common bond. Love, the common bond. You know, the Scripture talks about a common faith that all men have, all believers have, a common trials, a common salvation. Well, there's a common bond experienced by every true believer, and that is love. Now, here it is in 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 10. Herein is love. Here it is. Here is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't. But that He loved us. God loved us. Love begins not with us. It begins with God. And He sent His Son into the world to be the propitiation, to be the mercy seat, the sacrifice, the covering for our sins. This is love. God loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Here is love. Not that we love God. He loved us and sent His Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sin. Now, beloved, if God so loved us in this way, to this extent, we ought also to love one another. If God can love us, we certainly can love those that are like us. We're unlike God. God is light and we're darkness. God is truth and we're error. God is holiness. We're sin. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It ought to be a lot easier for us to love one another, understanding how God loved us. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten hath declared Him. No man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, this God whom we've never seen, and yet whom we believe, dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. If we have experienced His love and understand His love and show His love, that love is perfected. Now, in our Lord's great house and kingdom, there are many sons and daughters. They're not all of the same nationality. They're not all of the same background. Not at all. They're not of the same. They're not the same personality. They don't have the same gifts, talents, or ability. But in the kingdom of God, in the house of our Lord, by the mercy and grace of God, every child of God has three things in common. Three things. This is true of every believer. And the first one's this. Every child of God, every believer, God loves them. God loves them in Christ. Now, what does it say? Herein is love. Not that we loved Him. He loved us. We love Him because He loved us, but He loved us. We didn't merit His love. We didn't deserve His love. There was nothing in us lovable or that would cause God to love us. The cause is found in Himself. God love. God is love. That's why God loved, because He is love. Jeremiah 31:3 says this. Yea, I have loved thee, God said, with an everlasting love. If God loves you now, He's always loved you. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. It's infinite. It's everlasting. That's the way God is. God never changes. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. God can't change. God can't be anything less than perfect. His love is perfect love. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, He said, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Because I love thee, I've drawn thee. And I've drawn thee because I love thee. God's love is everlasting. It's from eternity through eternity. It's infinite. It is immutable, unchanging. And it's always in Christ. Now, that's right. John 3 says this. The Father loves the Son. and hath given all things into his hand. And he that hath the Son of God, he that believeth on the Son of God, hath life. Because life's in his hands, and love's in his hands. And he that hath not the Son, or believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. It's the believer that God loves, and he loves him in Christ. A man who's not a believer, he's not loved. God's angry with the wicked. The wrath of God abideth on him. Romans chapter 8 tells us this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not tribulation, distress, famine, persecution, sword. This love of God is in Christ. And God's gifts and calling are without change. So this is true of every believer. God loves them. God loves them. Secondly, this is true of all believers. They love God. We love Him. We do love Him because He first loved us. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, let him be anathema. Maranatha. What does that mean? If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, accursed. Maranatha, when Jesus comes, or the Lord is coming. It's foolish to talk of a person knowing God or believing God who does not believe, know, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's foolishness. Absolute foolishness. No man knows the Father but the Son, and he whom the Son reveals him. If a man does not know Christ, he doesn't know God. If a man does not love Christ, he doesn't love God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten hath declared him. So here are two things that every believer has in common with other believers. One, God loves him. He's an object of God's love. Secondly, he loves God. He loves God. The love of God is shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, all believers love one another. They love one another. He doesn't say they ought to love one another. It says they do love one another. By this, Christ said, shall all men know that you are my disciple. How? The more noise you make, the more religious you talk, the more faithful to church attendance you are? No. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. How, he said, how can a man love God whom he hath never seen, if he does not love his brother whom he hath seen? Oh, no. If a man, John said, if a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. That's an impossibility. These are three things that are common to every believer. God loves him. He's an object of the love of God in Christ. Secondly, he loves God. And thirdly, he loves God's people. You see, my friends, a Christian... What is a Christian? A Christian. That word has been misused and abused. A Christian, a believer, a child of God, is not merely a church member. He's not just a person who lives in America. We call it a Christian nation. A Christian is not merely a theologian who can recite his creed. A Christian is not merely a moralist who has reformed his life. A Christian is a believer in God. A believer who is a regenerated, recreated, born again, new person. A Christian is a son of God. Beloved, now are we sons of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Sons of God. Not just church members. Sons of God. Beloved, now are we sons of God. Not going to be. We are if we're believers. Now are we sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, and we'll be like him. But this work of salvation is a hard work. heart work. You see, the work of salvation is a work of God done in the heart, believed in the heart, known in the heart, experienced in the heart, felt in the heart, and lived from the heart. It has to do with the heart of a man, not just his mind, not just his body. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth in all things. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a mouth confession is made unto salvation, but with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. Oh, I know all believers experience conviction of sin, know that they're sinners. All believers are made aware of the holiness of God. Like Isaiah, who saw the holiness of God and said, "Woe is me, I'm cut off, I'm a man of unclean lips." We have heard the gospel, we believe the gospel, we've received the gospel, we've confessed Christ. But besides all this, God hath given to every believer a new nature, a new heart, a heart to love him, a heart to love his word, and a heart to love his people. It's a transformation. It's a conversion. It's a new creature. It's to be born anew. That's what a Christian is. Let me read some scripture to you which emphasizes what I'm talking about, this heart love. This God loves his people. His people love him, and they love one another. Listen to these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man, doesn't matter who he is, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. If he doesn't love Christ, he may love the church, the building, the denomination, a lot of things. But if he doesn't love Christ, Paul offers no hope for him. He allows no hope for that person who does not love Christ. No loophole, no excuse, no alibi. A man may lack courage, like Peter did, who denied the Lord, and yet love Christ. A man may fall as David and rise again. A man may fall out with others, as Barnabas did. You remember how he and Paul fell out with one another, and one went one way and one went the other? But not to love Christ is to be accursed. There are many faults and failures that God's people have, and trials and troubles and tribulations. But one thing is true. They do love Christ. This is what Peter confessed to him. "Lord, you know I may have denied you, and I may have boasted when I shouldn't, and I've been an impulsive character, but you know one thing, I do love you. And if any man doesn't love Christ, let him be accursed when the Lord comes." Look at Ephesians 6:24. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Grace be with you all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is sending his goodwill and good wishes to these people down in Ephesus, many of whom he'd never seen, many of whom he had never met. He didn't know them. He wasn't aware of their position or their profession or whatever. But how shall he address everybody? How's he going to write this letter to all true believers? You know how he identifies them? He says, "Grace to all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." There's no grace to anybody else. That'll take in every believer. Grace to all of you who love Christ sincerely. All right, listen to this. John 8:42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God." Who's he talking to? Well, these religious people, they had denied Christ. They had despised Christ. They had rejected Christ, his words, his gospel. They had rejected everything about him, while at the same time they claimed God as their father. You get the picture? These religious people had their ceremonies and works and Sabbath days and tithes and all these things. You know, they were going about playing religion and playing church and going to heaven when they die. And Christ came with the truth of God and the true gospel, and they despised him and denied him and rejected him and didn't believe him. And they said, but God's our Father. Oh, no, he said, no, no. If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God. No man is a child of God who does not love Christ. Christ is God. To despise God is to despise the Father. To despise Christ is to despise God. Listen to John 21:15. After they had dined, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Our Lord didn't ask Peter, are you converted? He didn't ask him, are you born again? That's what we ask people all the time. Are you saved? He didn't ask him, are you sorry for your sins? Are you sorry you denied me? Peter, will you be true from now on? Peter, will you serve me? Will you obey me? Will you do what I tell you to do? Didn't ask him any of those questions. He just looked at him and asked him point blank, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him that three times. Peter said, Lord, yea, I love thee. He said, well, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, he was grieved that the Lord asked him three times if he loved him. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Well, feed my sheep. I'll tell you this, simple as it may sound, plain and easy as it is to be understood, this is the foundation for all that we do in the name of God. All that we do that God will honor, all that we do that God will own. A lot of things done in the name of God that he doesn't honor and he doesn't own because they do not glorify him. But if you love me, he said, you'll feed my sheep. If you love me, you'll serve me. If you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll do my will. That's what he said to Peter. Do you love me? Peter said, I do. He said, well, then feed my sheep. Do what comes natural for one who loves. You see, if you ask me what's the true secret of a believer's whole life, I'll reply, it's his love for Christ. That's the secret. Why do I preach? Why am I doing what I'm doing? I love Christ. Our preaching is determined by our love for Christ. Our giving is determined by our love for Christ. Our conduct is a result of our love for Christ. That's what Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. You go into a hospital room where there's a little baby boy on the bed, and there are two women in the room. One is sitting beside the bed, and one is moving around the bed, dressed in a white uniform. She's the nurse. She's efficient. She's dedicated. She serves the child, waits on the child, helps the child, does all that she can do. And then 3 o'clock comes, she goes out and punches the time clock and goes home. But the other woman's still sitting there. And another nurse comes on, and she serves and labors, does all she can for that desperately ill child. 11 o'clock, she goes out, punches the clock and goes on. This woman's still sitting there. Who is this woman? It's the child's mother. And the mother loves the child. She's not working for wages. She's not serving out of a duty, because of a duty. She's not serving out of fear. She's serving for one purpose, love. And she won't move from that bedside till that fever breaks. And that's what I'm saying. Children of God, I hear preachers trying to get people to sow seeds so they can reap a harvest and give something to the church so they can get a whole lot more in return, or pray so that God will take them to heaven, or trying to get people to serve God out of reward, for rewards, or out of fear, or because of duty, or through covetousness. You're wasting your time. Wasting your time. Our Lord said, Peter, do you love me? That's all there is to it. Do you love me? If you love me, you'll feed my sheep. I'm not worried at all about you. If I have your heart, I have you. If I don't have your heart, whatever I have ain't worth it. Now, that's just so. Now, here's a question I'd like for us to consider in closing. How do I know if I really love the Lord Jesus Christ? How can a person know that he loves Christ? Well, I don't think that's too difficult. I really don't. How do you know if you love anybody? In what manner is love shown? Is love revealed? How do you know you love your dear husband or wife? How do you know you love your child? How do you know you love your grandchildren? How do you know you love your beloved friend of all these years? How do you know? Well, number one, if you love a person, you enjoy thinking about that person. You don't need to be constantly reminded of that person. You're not going to forget his name, are you? He dwells in your heart. She dwells in your heart. You don't forget them. And if you love Christ, he dwells in your heart. You don't forget the Savior, Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. That husband or wife, child or mother or father is a part of you, an extension of your very person. You love them. You think about them. Secondly, if you love a person, you enjoy hearing about them. You love to hear people talk about them. You find a great pleasure just to hear their names. Any report of their activities is of interest to you. Great interest to you. You love to hear the phone ring, pick it up, and it's your daughter way off over yonder in Oklahoma, and you want to know all about the family, what so-and-so's doing, what so-and-so's doing, because you love them, and you just dread to hang up. You get a letter in the mail, and it's from a beloved friend or a beloved son or daughter, and you read it 10 or 12 times. What's this? You love them. If you love God, you love his word. You love to hear his gospel. You love to hear his name. The things of God are of great interest to you. Thirdly, if you love a person, you like to hear from them. How welcome is a letter from someone far away? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, the glad tidings of the Lord? How far one of God's sheep will go to hear his word preached. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I'll hide your word in my heart. When you're in great trial or trouble, you read God's word, it comforts you. It's a word from the Lord. I'll tell you, if you love a person, you like to please them, don't you? Love to please them. Anything that you can do to make that person happy, you'll do. And anything that you do that displeases that person causes you grief. Isn't that right? When you do something that displeases that one whom you love, it bothers you. You're troubled about it. And that's the way we are about this matter of sin, about this matter of displeasing our Lord. We can't be comfortable knowing that we are grieving the Spirit of God. And how happy we are when we are in his presence and with his people, worshiping. That's when David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. When he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Yeah, if you love a person, you also love those whom they love. My only daughter brought home a young man I never met. Now, I love my daughter so very, very much. And she brought home a young man I'd never met. In a few months, she came and said they were going to be married. Well, I didn't know him very well, but I loved him. You know why I loved him? She loved him. I learned to love him for himself, but my first love for him was because she loved him. And I'll tell you, if you're one of God's own, you love God's people. Yeah, you love those that love Christ. You love those that Christ loves. That's right. My son, I'm not crazy about cats, but my youngest son brought a cat home one time and asked us we'd keep that cat for him. And I kept that cat for several months, and I didn't particularly care for that cat, but I kept him and loved him for my son's sake. You know what I'm saying? If you love a person, you love those whom they love. And if you love a person, you love to talk to them. You don't have to twist some believer's arm to get him to pray. He loves to pray. He loves to tell. If you love a person, you want to tell them your thoughts and tell them your needs and tell them your interests. And there's no trouble having a conversation with somebody you love. And if somebody you don't care much for, it's a strain, and you'll avoid them. In fact, you'll leave the room when they come in. Maybe that's why a lot of folks don't pray. But if you love God, you'll talk to God. You can't do without it. It's like the breath. It's like breath to a human being, prayer to a believer. And then if you love a person, you'll want to be with them. And that's the reason Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, he said, for me to abide is expedient and convenient for you. But far as I'm concerned, I want to go be with Christ, which is far better. And David said this, I'll be satisfied, and not until I'll be satisfied when I wake with his likeness. Love, the common bond. You want this tape? Send $2, we'll mail it to you. Now on the other side is Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and love, the common bond. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.